It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Clocks Running, the podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm your host, Ant.
And I'm Jacob.
We're going to welcome
you back to the car. It's beautiful.
Hey, man, we're starting a road trip. I got to be in the car.
And that's a great point. You know, I didn't even think about that. Only thing I got is traffic sign worried about Crocs.
Hey, man, so we've been hyping this up ever since we dropped this announcement, you know, putting clips on Instagram and just dropping hints about where we were going, who we were going to be talking to. But we had to start in New York, right? It just makes sense.
Right, man. The city that never sleeps.
Now, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but my dad was a part of a touch league back in like the 70s in Long Island, New York.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I got a lot of family. So this is all connected.
Yeah. So there's some history there. You know, I let them know, hey, we're starting in New York. My dad was born in Brooklyn in the house. So we definitely going to represent tonight. You know, but we wanted to, the car wasn't packed enough. So we wanted to add just another guest for tonight. Bring somebody, you know, you called shotgun, but this guy's going to sit in the back seat. Which is fine because he's only about, I don't know, 4'8", something like that, 4'9". What up, Lance?
Really?
Lance on the Lance is in charge of the CDs in the back.
Lance is cool. I got a booster seat in the back already for you. It's no issue at all.
Hey, man, I'm so glad you came. Came with a show.
Oh, man.
Just wait till Tampa. I got receipts.
He's got receipts. Oh, man. All right. That's fine. I got a receipt from Tuesday night from something that happened, but we'll talk about that later, Lance. So,
I didn't call you. It wasn't me. What's happening?
Shout out to the Bay Area, you know. All right. Well, without further ado, let's bring on our local official from New York for tonight. Top five, best ref, dead or alive. Here he is. What up, Deuce?
What up, Deuce? Yeah. What's good, y'all? What's good, man?
Hey, man. I feel like I had to do like a boxing introduction for you. Like I didn't know how tall or how much you weighed. I feel like I needed all your stats.
Yeah, I'm 5'7". I'm not big at all. I'm 5'7". I'm 160 right now. I'm at my heaviest.
There you go.
Yeah, my birthday like in a week and a half, you know, October 11th, I'll be 45. But I used to be 118 my whole life. But I'm just, I don't know. Last couple of years, I put on some pounds.
It might be the middle age. Weighs 118 pounds.
Oh man. Well, and I saw something like this past weekend, you threw 77 penalty flags in a youth game. Is that right?
No, no, it wasn't you. It wasn't you. It was grown ass men, eight men. And that's when the offensive lineman can't go out. It's three men got a block, you know? That's how we play eight men in New York. Because the way people play eight men on the USA flag, everybody go out. That's illegible. I think you call that shit. But yeah, but we play different. But these guys, yo, they full start like 70 times though. Straight up. Yo, they kept going on two, but everybody kept moving on one. Like what? But listen, there's a new team. They all grown men. There's a new team that this is the first time ever playing flag, actually. But still, I begged them. I was begging them, please go on one, man. Go on one.
We're trying to make it complicated.
Yo, they play five games and they still haven't scored a point yet. They haven't still scored a point.
That sounds like Bex plus one in Carolina. They can't score a point for nothing.
Wow.
But I respect them for trying, though. I respect them for trying.
Hey, so Deuce, before we get into everything about New York and what flag looks like out there, can you just give me like your origin story? Where you started? What got you into flag football?
What got me into flag football is I just wanted to take my friends out the hood. Since day one, I pay for everything. The jerseys, ref fees, tournament fees for my guys, you know, I grew up in the projects where I wanted to take out my friends out the hood for a couple of hours just to play flag football so we could do something positive with ourselves instead of, you know, staying in the hood and shooting at each other, you know what I'm saying? So, it'd be times where none of my friends had cars. To drive to the game. So I used to have to rent U-Haul and put everybody in the back and drive like a half an hour to the games. You know what I'm saying? And I did that like the first 5-6 years of my career. You know what I'm saying? With my guys. But yeah. So, and at that time, it didn't matter how good you were. If you wasn't for my project, you couldn't play for my team. You know, because I did it for my community. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I started.
Deuce, what year did you start?
What year? Like 99?
99, okay. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you how old I was in 99.
Yeah, listen, I'm really a coach. I'm a coach at heart. And the reason why I ref, because I wanted to show the refs, you know what I'm saying, that I could do their job better than them. Because, I came across so much horrible refs in flag football. I'm talking about horrible, horrible, horrible refs. And one ref told me one day, if you think it's so easy to ref, come to my school. You know, because he do high school football. You know, come to my school. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And you ref. And I'm like, all right, fine. I will go to the school. I went to the school. You know, I graduated. And I started doing tackle, you know. But I quit that shit because I didn't like that shit. Because I'm a flag football guy at heart, you know? So instead of doing tackle, I started doing flag now, you know? And I started with the high school flag. You know, I transferred from the tackle to the flag, you know?
Right.
So when I transferred that, I was doing that a couple of years, and, you know, they made me head ref for New York City Charter School, high school out here.
Right on.
So it's something I always think about, Deuce, is you never want to forget where you're from, and I appreciate you talking about, you know, bringing guys out to projects. That's something that's close to my heart when I was growing up.
They said I'm from Dykeman Projects. Well, we got the best street ball tournament in the world. We took over Rucker Park, you know?
So where'd you grow up?
In Dykeman. That's Dykeman. Upper Manhattan. That's New York City, Upper Manhattan, you know?
There you go. So you started as a coach, then you went into officiating. Now you do a little bit of both, right?
Yeah, I do both. Cause I coach next month. the 9-man circuit, and we're going to Rhode Island. I'm taking my crew to Rhode Island and try to win the championship. And to me, 9-man is the to me personally, I think it's the highest level of flag football. It's the hardest. It's even harder than the USA team. None of the USA team could play 9-man, and they'll be regular players in that level. You know, straight up and down. But it's a contact sport. But if the NFL guys try to play the flag guys, the NFL guys will kill them. You know what I'm saying? But if the NFL guys try to play the non-contact guys on a sport, then I got the USA guys winning that. You know, because the USA guys, you know, they know how to play their style, and I believe the NFL guys won't be good.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from 2 closet finishes and 4 colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Playing a contact sport.
Lance, how do you feel about 9-man?
We don't have 9-man out here. I've seen it a couple of times down in when they were doing it, a showcase. It's just different. To Deuce's point, it's a very physical game. I will be the first to admit, never will play it. And you guys can have that all day, every day. But it's an interesting concept. I mean, to Deuce's point, it is closer to tackle than you will ever get without being in a tackle format. That format is not something we would ever we see out here. So, you know, kudos to you guys on the East Coast to keep it alive, and kudos to you guys for keep playing it.
See, for example. Guys like Everett Holiday and Bruce Mack, right? They are superstars in non-contact. Superstars. And 9-man, they're just regular players. They're not superstars over there. You know? They good, but they're not superstars. How they are superstars in non-contact. You know?
I know Bruce plays with Main Event. He plays with – is it Main Event or the Cobras?
Yeah. He switched over to Main Event. He paid for a couple of teams that he switched over. But playing the Main Event – it was winning when since Bruce Mack was in Pampers. You know, they're legendary, you know. Everybody go over there to win championships. You know what I'm saying? I even was with them and won a championship in Vegas with them, you know, in 8-man over there in USA flag and shit. But yeah, but Main Event legendary. And every holiday he was playing for the Bulldogs. He was playing for Main Event. But I don't think he ever won. I don't think he ever won a 9-man tournament every holiday. He tried, you know. Yeah. But he did good, but he didn't win it all. It's a different game.
So Jacob, has there been any 9-man that has gotten into the Carolinas at all? Or
so there was there was a 9-man league in Charlotte for a little while. Back in the early 2000s, and I think it kind of, unfortunately, with a lot of like a lot of the other areas, it kind of phased out. And Deuce can kind of speak to this a little bit more, but 9-man's kind of stayed, like the nucleus has stayed in the Northeast, and there's probably some other some spots that still play it, but it's more like what's the word? It's very spotty. I would say the Carolinas had it for a little bit, but not near what they're used to with the 9-man circuit.
Yeah, and I grew up in Colorado, Deuce. I played 8-man. That's what I how I got into flag football was playing 8-man. I was a D lineman. Sometimes I was on the O line, but so 9-man wasn't something we never saw as well. The only exposure I've had to it besides seeing it online is Tampa this past year, and I could hear your voice from like 3 fields over, hooting and hollering. Saying everything you had to. So I want to talk about now New York and what that looks like. So you talked about 9-man, 8-man. What's the history about? You know, you said you were involved since 99, but what's the history of flag football in New York?
Uncle George Higgins. Uncle George Higgins, he's like the godfather of New York. He had everything. He had Long Island. He had the Westchester area. He had the Albany area. That man had over 1,000 teams, you know, all put together, you know. He been doing this since the 70s, though, Uncle George Higgins. Wow. You know, where we play at right now, guys, it's a new league. Like they actually fought. The worst thing they did was got rid of Uncle George. It was some guy came over and said, "Listen, they try to like he tried to convince that he can make a better league than George, you know? Because they were trying to say, oh, George don't do no social media and stuff like that. So people in New York left Uncle George, my area, the Westchester area, they left Uncle George and made a league. And to me, they made it a lot worse. They made it a lot worse. And they got this thing out here now named Scam Mook. I call it Scam Mook, right? You know? They fucked up the local leagues and they fucked up what the meaning of a real flag football champion is, you know, because every month is 1,000 champions now, you know what I'm saying? Same thing with USA Flag. Every month is like 1,000 champions. So your league, your local league, which guys used to wait probably years to win a championship, is watered down now. Being a flag football champion is like a watered down thing. Back in the days when you won a championship, like it felt different. Cause now you can win a championship every month. We could go here, we could go there. You know what I'm saying?
So do you think there should be less opportunities to play and let it mean more?
I was asking.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think that because guys is having fun, you know. I just think that saying like everybody showed their rings and everything. I just think like it's watered down. Being a flag football champion is a watered down thing. Everybody's a flag football champion these days. Back then, when you won it, like it was something because you waited for it. It wasn't no tournaments like that. You know, Uncle George used to have his tournament, but it was twice a year. He had one in the summer, one in the winter. You know, the Nationals, you know, and stuff like that. But it's different. It's different. But yeah, to me, New York is not as good as back in the day. It's a lot less teams.
Let me ask you this though: is maybe it's watered down because there's tournaments every month, but are the athletes a lot better now?
Man, I think they more athletic, but they more dumber. I think guys had better IQ back then. You know, definitely like managing time of the game, handling the timeouts and shit like that, and handling the fourth down decisions and shit like that. I think guys was more smarter back then than now. It's just my opinion.
Yeah. Lance, how do you feel about that? You feel like things are watered down or it's evened out with athleticism?
Well, I mean, I think so. There's good and bads. I think with all the tournaments and availability of places to play, it's obviously helped increase the popularity of the sport, which is what we want. What I do agree with to a certain extent with Deuce is that to call yourself a champion, you need to work your ass off to become a champion. You don't get it on a weekend whim. You know, nothing against the amateur or wrecks, but it's amateur and wrecked. Some capacity. Yeah. If you're going to win something, go win an elite. And then then you can celebrate all you want. But if you're celebrating amateur, there's no tomorrow. I don't know. I mean, I get it. If you've never won anything, celebrate for the evening, but let it go. You're moving up and competition is going to be harder. So to a certain extent, I agree with Deuce. You gotta earn your stripes, as they say. But at the same time, you gotta beat the best. Like, you know, even if it is non-contact, and you know, Deuce, to your point, it's not your favorite format, but you still gotta beat the best to be the best, right? In that elite division. So go out, compete, play hard, and beat the elite team so that you can call yourself that. So, yeah. So to a certain extent, I agree with Deuce a little bit. It is a little bit watered down. It is like, you know, I will say this in our local leagues here, and I'm like, why are we just play? I got a fourth. I was fourth in a league of six, and they still gave out rings. No, don't want it.
To who? Yeah. To fourth place?
Exactly. I don't even want to talk about it. Let's leave it alone.
You got a ring pop?
No. Yeah. To your point, I agree with that.
Yeah,
man. Hey, so Deuce, you told us the league that you don't like. What's your favorite league in your area?
My favorite league right now I represent New Era Flag Football. You know, I'm the head ref. I'm also the head coach for the traveling team for New Era. What I do at the end of the year, I pick an all-star team. If you did good that season, I put you on my traveling team, you know? So instead of playing each other, back in the days we used to play each other for the all-star game. Now I take them on the road with me, you know? So the next time we go on to Rhode Island, after that we go to Orlando after that.
You're taking an all-star team down there to Orlando from the league?
This is nine man, you know?
Right.
I'm mad that moving it to over there. I was happy in Tampa last year. I was happy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we lost the Super Bowl out there, but still, I was happy out there, except for the mud in the parking lot.
Fortunately, we didn't get to spend a whole lot of time in the parking lot. We were able to be on the field majority of the time. But
and reffing, right? Let's talk about reffing. Like, when I ref non-contact compared to contact, I feel like it's easy to me to ref non-contact. You know, to me, it's an easier. It's not that
easier
much
than contact.
10 times easier. 10 times. Really? I feel like I'm stealing. It's so easy to me. I feel like I'm stealing money. I feel like I'm stealing money when I'm out there. That's how easy it is to me to wrap a non-contact. That PD, all that shit is easy to me. You know what's hard to me is contact. When guys is complaining, he's holding me, he's grabbing me. You know, it's different. It's a whole different game. When you ref in contact and when you ref in non-contact, you know?
Right.
And definitely when I'm refing kids is so easy to ref.
It's hard to compare that, though, right, Deuce? Because we're talking about fives where there's only 10 players on the field, and then you're going to nines where there's almost twice as many.
That's true, exactly. Too. That is true. That's true.
And the defensive linemen always feel like they're getting hold. You ain't getting hold. He just blocked your ass. He pancaked your ass. He's holding me. Man.
Deuce, how many refs do you get to run in your league per field?
Three.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a lot to watch for three officials to watch 18 people. It's a lot for – I think it's a lot for eights for them to watch.
Straight up. And you know
what's the mechanic set up for that?
We do it differently too. It depends who I'm repping with. Sometimes I could put we could do it how the USA flag do it. I put one behind the quarterback, one in line of scrimmage and one downfield. We only do that when we know it's two bum ass quarterbacks cannot throw. You know what I'm saying? Now, if we got a quarterback that we know could throw downfield, now I'm putting one in the line of scrimmage and two downfield. You know what I'm saying? It all depends. I adjust, and I do that as a coach. When I coach, when I coach football, it all depends who I'm playing. I might play a cover two. I might play a cover three. You know what I'm saying? I might play man. It all depends who I'm playing. You know what I'm saying? And that's the way I ref. It all depends who I'm playing is the way I'm going to set up in the field.
Perfect world, so what would you prefer?
What you say? Perfect world.
Perfect world. What would you prefer to have? If you got the other two, or the best officials you can work with?
Say, I'd rather have somebody do a lot of scrimmage and me downfield, because I'm not doing shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easy. And from there, I could, if we put one in the line of scrimmage, one in the middle, and one in the back, right? I actually could ref the whole field, right from the middle of the field. I could call a holding. I could call a pass interference. I actually could ref the whole field. I can even call roughing the passer. That, from right there, I could ref the whole field, straight up. Because I could start from the line of scrimmage, then drip off. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Hey, so, Deuce, Lance, he still plays in the leagues in his area. He plays, and then some nights he refs. He gets a lot of flack for doing that. Do you get a bunch of flack for being a coach and a ref in the same league?
No, I don't coach in my local league. I take the all-stars from my league, and I travel with them. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so you're outside of your own league.
Everybody in the league, I have teammates with, because they travel with me. So nobody can be like, oh, dude, you cheating for that team because you coach them. Nope, I got players on your team. I coach too. I coach everybody. You know what I'm saying? In this league. Yeah. Straight up. So that's why I make sure I get players from every team to travel with. You know what I'm saying? So when I go ref, they can't say, oh, I'm cheating for this team, because no. I coach both teams. You know what I'm saying? The all-star.
Lance, you ever thought about putting an all-star team together to travel the circuit?
Couldn't deal with the egos.
That's what made me the greatest flag football coach ever. You know what I'm saying? I'm top five flag football. I'm top five. I'm not the greatest ref. I'm top five, but I'm the greatest flag football coach. You know what I'm saying? If I coached more, I would win more. You know what I'm saying? Last time I coached the girls, you know what I'm saying? I beat Diana Flores. You know what I'm saying? I beat what's her name from Florida? Marley and them. You know,
yeah.
She had Kennedy and Clam and them. Beat them. You know, if I coach more, I would win more easily.
So why don't you have a spot as a coach on the national team?
What you say?
Why aren't you a coach on the national team?
I'm too ghetto, man. I'm too hood, man. Listen, that's a politic game over there. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not what they looking for. You know, I might fuck they shit up. You know, but ain't nobody. My IQ for the game, you know what I'm saying? I got a coach mentality and I have a ref mentality. You know what I'm saying? My IQ for the game is high. Nobody can deny that. You know what I'm saying? All the great ones that knows, they know. You know what I'm saying? Long as they know, that's all I care about.
Go ahead, Jacob.
No, I was gonna go next thing. Go ahead.
Okay, So, Lance, I know you had the opportunity to work in a tournament in New York with Deuce. Do you have any experiences you want to share?
I think we only did a handful of games. One of them was a playoff game last time I was in New York. And the one thing that I like about my crew is if I don't have to worry about what you're doing, then you're doing a great job. Because if I have to worry about what you're looking at, then I can't do my job. If you're doing your job, I don't have to worry about you, then I can focus on my job. And that's what I got out of working with Deuce. Was like, he was doing his job. He was there. He was in position. Great. Don't need to worry about it. Move on. Next play. So that's kind of how that's my mentality is even when I'm doing tackles, like if my crew, if I don't have to worry about anyone else not doing their job, and I'm comfortable in them doing their job, great. I can focus in on what I need to be doing. So, that's kind of how my mentality is.
Gotcha. Deuce, anything you want to add about that tournament that was in New York? Anything, any favorite experience or anything?
Rain sucked.
Oh, the rain.
The rain did suck.
Yeah. I've been through it all, though, man. Rain, snow, wind, very cold, very hot. You know, listen, it's not easy to ref. People think it's easy to ref. It's not. It's not easy to ref. Definitely when you ref like a two-day tournament, that second day hits you, man. Definitely in the middle of the day. And you have to stay focused, man. You got to stay focused because you could lose track on the down, you know, because guys are always tricking you. Like, no, it's second down, it's third down. Guys, players are always going to try to trick you. So you have to stay focused, you know. And, but New York, it was cool. I don't think he came the second time. You came the second time? No. Because I did two USA flags.
So Lance wasn't there the first year. Lance was there the second year.
Second year. He was there the second year.
Yeah. The second year is where we had that Sunday where it just, I mean, it poured the whole day. It was miserable, man. Underneath that bridge, Bridgewater runoff. Oh, man.
But the view was beautiful.
Oh, I actually threw by the end of the day.
I threw my high school flag games in there on that field.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the park's really nice. I enjoy it. Aside from the weather,
the only thing I thought about, I felt like I was the greatest ref that day. You know what I'm saying? I always felt like that. My confidence always high. You know, and that's why I feel like I probably do good because I always come in with a lot of confidence. You know?
Yeah.
You have to have confidence doing this shit. If not, you're gonna fuck up. Yeah.
but here's my issue. This is if you're saying you're the greatest on days when you know guys like Lance and Jacob are around, you're saying you're the greatest top five dead or alive, but you haven't officiated at the World Championships in Tampa.
But listen, you gotta understand, it's hard to do that when I'm coaching 9-man that day. I can't do both. When I'm coaching, I cannot. That's Martin Luther King weekend, right?
Yeah.
You see, I can't do it. That's not 9-man, you know? 9-man means something to me, you know?
9-man means that.
Yeah, that's the only thing right now I could coach. Everything else, I'm refing. Everything else, I'm refing. I had to leave something open for me to coach because I still love the game. I still love the game.
I mean, you only play. There's only like two games a day, though, right?
It's two games and four games in the end. Good game.
I just feel like there's a lot of time where you could, you know, drive down to Tampa and get your stripes on, man.
Not only that, because I bring a camera crew with me always. I make my guys watch film and everything. I really take this as serious.
I'm coaching.
It is crazy. When I'm reffing, I protect all my refs. Definitely, you ref on my field. If you refereeing me, right, and a player cursing you out or try to talk to you some type of way, I'm throwing a flag. And then your deuce, I'm not even talking to you. So what? If you talk, you can't talk to none of my refs like that on my field. You know what I'm saying? This is church. Treat it like it's church. I always tell them that. Treat it like it's church. It is straight up.
I wish Lance took care of me like that. Lance don't ever have my back on here.
I don't let no play be disrespectful with anybody. And I don't give a fuck about ref fucked up. You still can't get disrespectful. You know what I'm saying?
For real, when I've been reffing in the Bay Area, because Lance knows those players so well. And so they get a little too friendly with them and they start cussing them out. It hurts my feelings. In my heart, I feel it. And Lance is like, he just doesn't listen to a single word they say. It's amazing.
But you know what I do, right? And back home, right? Back home, they record every game. So every time somebody complains, I go back home and look at the film. And when I write, I post that shit and start arguing online. I told you you flag guarded. Look. I told you it was bumping the passer. You was cursing me out there, right? But look, you got low football IQ. Look, I have to grab a flag. I was hitting the quarterback off. Yeah, I talk mad shit on Facebook. I pop back. I pop back with evidence. Straight up.
Lance, you have some thoughts?
I always got your back, Ant.
I know you do. I know.
I've learned to, Jacob and Ant know this. I've learned to ignore a lot, but to your point, Deuce, I respect that you take care of your refs, where in your crew, if one of your refs is not being appropriately being talked to, then yeah, it is your duty to protect them. And I respect that and I'm all for it. It's shortages of refs is a nationwide thing. So trying to get folks to be interested in it, like, you don't want to get yelled at. You don't want to have that in your face. So to eliminate that and make it so that refereeing can be fun, keeps you in the sport, keeps you active, protecting those refs that you have in your crew, that's huge. And I'm happy to hear that. So kudos to you. But Ant, you and me, we, whatever. All good.
Oh man, dude, you know what? I got to tell you this about Lance. Me and him, like, every time I'm on his field, I bring issues to his field. And so I know he is so tired of dealing, because it always happens. I will come up with some crazy flag to throw, and it's somewhere in the rule book that nobody else knows. And Lance just has to have my back. And he's like, I'm so upset.
So my thing, my thing is one, don't really care because the clock's rolling. So I don't care. Two, you're going to have to explain this rule because you're the one, you know it better than I do. And I'm just going to say, he made the call. Let's go. Put the ball down, mark it off. Let's go. I don't have time to argue. If you want to argue, great. It's going to be your clock, but we got to go. So,
Deuce, what's the one penalty you feel like you call more than any other official that you're around that nobody else calls?
Oh, illegal contact downfield.
Okay.
Yo, because if definitely in my league, because you could 5-yard bump, right? But guys like to bump you 10 yards, 15 yards downfield. You can't do that. You got 5 yards to do it, you know? Yeah, you can't do it, man. Illegal contact, man, downfield, man. You got to watch out for that, man. Because definitely if even in non-contact, when you only got two refs out there, smart players know the blind spot. They know that the ref can't look at everything. But one ref got to look at the quarterback, and the other ref is doing the 7 yards and got to look at the secondary. Sometimes you can't see the whole field with two refs, and it's very hard. It's very, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. If you doing two reps, then you setting your reps up. You're setting your reps up. You know what I'm saying? You don't reps have to be good, man.
Jacob, you're setting yourself up. You're setting up the draft. You tell him, dudes. Yeah.
I tell him, man. I do two reps a lot. That shit is hard. That's just not easy.
Yep. And I mean, I will say, there's times where, like, you don't have a choice, you know what I mean? You gotta, make do what you can. Well, not even budget wise, just people available. That's where you get like kind of a downside to it. But on the flip side, it's like you said, like players will take advantage of it if you don't pay attention, you let stuff go. So no, it's cool. I'm always curious because like Ant's big thing is like if your flags aren't tight on your hips, he's gonna burn you every time. But I try to see what people call what's the thing that you think you point out more than anybody. So
I don't know. Go ahead, dude.
And I make sure everybody flags on the right way. The cup got to be outward. You cannot be in. You got to make sure of that, man. A lot of players like to cheat and put it in. And before the game, I tell everybody, I go around because I don't want to flag them for it. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I warned them before the game, right at the coin toss. Right there, I tell their players, I tell their captains, make sure everybody got their flags on the right way. Please. And it's in the room. It's in the rule book. You go to appointment.
What is the word that we're calling it now? Do you remember?
What?
What is the word that we're calling to flip him out?
I'm not saying it. Dude, we had a weird law on this show a couple weeks ago.
Glizzy's out.
He was saying Glizzy's out.
No Diddy. No Diddy, man. You got to say no Diddy. You got to say that.
No Diddy, man. Oh, man. He said it twice. Hey. I had to go the first time, but.
Hey, you know what? I cry tears of joy when I get to throw an illegal equipment flag on somebody, especially those guys from the Bay Area, because they do not listen at all. I'm telling you right now, dudes, if you were out in the Bay Area, it would be nonstop. You've had to remind these guys. I don't know what Lance is doing out there, but they got the flags as loose as possible, and they're pointed inwards, everything. Lance, come on, man.
Yeah, because you know why? Because when they twist their hip, the flag's going to go with them. That's why in our rule book, it says it. We have to tie it tight. You know, it cannot be loose.
You know, the funny thing is I don't do league. I haven't done league much lately just because I've been doing girls high school and tackle. So,
yeah.
I haven't. I don't.
Oh, man. Lance, I appreciate you, man. You're playing though right now, right? Like in the current season?
We just finished our Tuesday night co-ed. It's just, you know, just a bunch of friends playing. Get out. It's just I'm only playing Tuesday nights. It's fun. It's just get out of the house but like this season because of high school girls, I reffed Monday, I reffed last night. I actually have a tackle game in an hour, a little over an hour. And then I have a doubleheader tomorrow. So I'm super busy, which is good.
Lance, before you get out of here, how has the season so far been for high school girls? Has it been better than last year?
So this is year two. So some fundamental things that we are challenged with. So we didn't really have a lot of games last season, right? So now we doubled the number of teams. So obviously that just exponentially increased the number of games. The way the season is structured, at least in our area, the way they're doing it is it's actually kind of neat. It's not just one game. They actually have three teams going to one host location, and it actually is good for us because it's three games, right? So they knock out two games in their league, and we get three games because they're playing each other. And the season is roughly 4.5 weeks. It's just basically the month of October. They used all of September for scrimmages. So a lot of the coaches, they recognize me. A lot of the players recognize me in terms of like, hey, we just saw you the other day. And the coaches are asking a lot of really good questions in terms of what they can and can't do. I have my own personal suggestions on what the way the rule book is written and the wording and the verbiage. So thanks to you, Jacob, for on the USA flag side, because basically I'm big, just cut and paste. I'm like, no, this is not how we do it. I just give you a very simple example. In a no run zone, a backwards lateral pass is considered a pass.
Ooh, so that's so
you can run off a backwards pitch.
Wow.
That's a running play.
You're preaching, preaching to the choir. But the way that they're arguing is because the ball's in the air. That's their argument.
So well, anyway,
I'm not here to argue. I'm not here to. I've already. I have a bunch of.
NFL flag.
Right. So
none of them. You can't do that.
Yeah. So we have a bunch of red lines in terms of our rule book. I'm submitting that at the end of the season, but. There's like little nuances that just don't make sense for flag versus tackle. They basically took a tackle rule, applied it to a flag, and then just let it be. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. You have to think about it beyond just a rule to put a rule in place. So I get what they're trying to do. Next year is going to be – this year is a great sort of surfing ground because next year, if I'm not mistaken, they will have playoffs. So last year and this year, is just run through the season, get as many reps as you possibly can. And then I believe next year they will be doing CCS playoffs, similar to what they do for the boys. So that's kind of exciting, basically, because that means it's maturing. This is what we want. This is what we are striving for. It's all about getting, one, the exposure, getting the girls to come out and play, and then obviously just refining not only the rules in themselves, but also to your point, Deuce and Jacob, your earlier conversation on the mechanics, right? Mechanically, you know, I'm telling people, hey, these are the things that you need to look for. You know, they're things that they're not used to seeing in tackle, like, you know, a flag guard, like a stiff arm. Well, normally in tackle, that's great, but you can't do that in flag. So trying to teach these guys what to look for. We don't have, you know, for instance, a great one is we don't have the concept of forward progress, right? You're down, you're down. It's where the flag is. If you run back 5 yards, that's on your stupid ass, right? Mm-hmm. So like little nuances of that. And then hopefully cleaning up the rule book to basically it's not as bad as IFAF. It's a little bit more English related, but there are some things that we could clean up and make it a little bit more clear. But it's there. It's coming. I know you guys on the East Coast are way ahead of us in terms of youth flag, but we're catching up.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great.
Nice. All right, Lance, I know you got to get out of here. I appreciate you joining us.
Yep.
Good luck. Have a great day tonight, buddy.
Yes, Deuce, yeah. It was good catching up with you guys.
Yeah, y'all be good.
All right.
All right.
Go. All right, dude. So I gotta hit you with a question, and I know you're not gonna like it, but let's say new era flag football. The guy that runs the league, he sits you down one day and he says, "Look, we know 2028, the Olympics, it's gonna be 5-on-5 non-contact. We're turning our league into 5-on-5 non-contact. What team in your current league right now is gonna easily convert over to that, and they're just gonna become the winning team?"
None. They won't be ready because Florida, Texas, they already got a 10-step ahead of New York. New York is a contact sport, man. Them try to convert to non-contact is not happening. They do it out here with the co-ed. We do got co-ed. It's starting to grow out here. The co-ed is starting to grow. But you gotta go to Boston for that. Not New York. You gotta go for Boston. They do play somewhat non-contact up there, Massachusetts. But not New York City.
So nobody. With how many teams are in your league right now?
Right now, it's a little bit. It's only six.
So six of the six teams. Which one of those six do you think, if you guys change the format from nines to fives, which team do you think would win out of that group?
Man, probably the Hustlers, because they do play USA flag. The Monstars, you know the Monstars.
They
quarterback plays in my league.
Okay, you know? Good deal.
He played both. He played contact and non-contact. So right. I would say his team. You know, they just went to California. I heard they lost to the Bombers out there.
Yeah, they played well, especially because there was only a few of them that traveled.
Yeah, they from my league.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you think there's a reason why, though, that just New York is just that this is a contact state. We're just going to stay this way. We don't care about what the Olympics look like or anything. I mean, don't you think that closes the door for people to have the chance to make it into the Olympics from New York?
I don't think they care. Because they look at it like it's fake flag football. That's the way it looks. Because the contact, non-contact came later on in life, you know? So they look at it like, oh, this shit is a new sport, you know? So that's the way the contact players is looking at the non-contact players out here. Straight up. And let's talk about refing. It's hard, you know what I'm saying? This is the hardest part about refing, because I do it all. 8-man, 7-man, 6-man, 5-man, 4-man, whatever, you know? And I always tell everybody, and people get mad at me, I read the rule book before every tournament. I read the rule book. And a lot of people are like, yo, dudes, you done ref this format 100 times. Why are you reading the rule book? It's because I just did an 8-man tournament and a 7-man tournament. I could get confused with one rule. You know, some have 5 yards for a flag guard. Some have a 10 yards. Some of the losses are down here. Some is a repeated down in this tournament. So that's why I always read the rules right before every tournament. And you know what? I recommend everybody to do it straight up.
Yeah,
absolutely. Stuff changes.
Yeah, and people is lazy. A lot of refs is lazy. A lot of refs cheat time. I don't cheat time. Everybody always complain, oh, your field goal is the longest. Yeah, because the other refs there is cheating time. The fuck they trying to go home? You want to keep it real? They're like, yo, dude, man, you always talking shit. It's the truth. You want to keep it real? And that's why every time I coach, I tell every ref, listen, I got my clock on me. I got my clock on me. You know, I'm watching you. Straight up. I need all my time when I'm coaching. Don't play me.
Hey, so you don't, as a coach, you don't have a little bit of a little bit of grace for your fellow officials? You don't take it easy on them?
I got a little bit. I changed a little bit because I used to kill all reps. That's why I became a ref, just to show the ref that I could do their job better than them. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah. Yeah, so over the years now, I've been reffing. Yes, I do think about it. And I'm like, damn, I want to curse him out, but I'm a ref. So, you know, I do. I changed over the years. I did. But some refs I still curse out. Some refs. It all depends what you do. Straight up.
Hey, so how many days a week you ref right now?
Three.
And it's all 9-man, or what's it look like?
No. 8-man, co-ed, 5-man.
Oh, okay.
And you. And I do you on Saturdays.
Yeah.
I do the you.
So,
yeah,
I do the 9-man.
What'd you say?
Oh, so is for you, is co-ed, do you like it? Or is it just, it's so overcomplicated because of all the different, you know, points and rules that are added, or
it's stealing money. It's too easy to run. Easy. Yeah. You can't go to the girl. I mean, you can't throw to a guy 3 straight times. Yeah, I know the rules. You know what I'm saying, the 7 yards they got to rush from. Yeah, man, I do that shit all the time. That's too easy. Too easy.
Oh man! Well, Jacob, go ahead.
I know, man. What's the hard part? The girl, what, 9 points?
If
extra point, you score one is a 2-pointer. What's hard about it? It's not hard about it. Like, nah, you know what I'm saying? They throw it to a guy. You know the fuck? Man, that's just easy.
Jacob, you have any more questions for Deuce? Well, we got it.
Nah, man, I'm glad we were able to get Deuce on the show, man. Deuce is always a pleasure to talk.
It's a pleasure. I want to thank you for inviting me, man. There's much love, yo. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, man. Hopefully, you get a break in Orlando. We'll see you.
No doubt. And when you out there, man, don't let nobody talk to you crazy, man. That's what you got them yellow flags for, man. Throw them.
Yes, sir. You already know.
Listen, I don't want to do to you, but two of them kick you out the game. You know what I'm saying?
Go on, then you come get me.
I tell you right now, like I said, I'm a head. Like, I know Lance and Jacob, they always got my back. But, man, I cause them a lot of headaches when I'm on the field.
It's always a good time, though.
Yeah, but all right, dude. Well, thank you so much for starting our road trip off right.
No doubt. Word up. Yeah.
Be good, man.
Be good. There we go. Deuce Dutch, man.
What a blast.
Oh, man. Top five, dead or alive.
That's right.
I felt like we needed pyrotechnics. My introduction was not good enough for him.
I mean, you know, but I think you started off strong, maybe having a little bit more details, get the height, the weight. You'll throw it all in there all at once. You got it all. You know, maybe the World Championships. Deuce is always fun. I've worked two tournaments with Deuce. Deuce is fun. He brings a lot of energy, and he's very engaged. So you get officials who are pretty engaged, and you get some who are not so much. And Deuce brings the energy every day. You know, every day he's working, even after long days.
You know what? And I'm so upset because he brought up the year 1999. I didn't even get to ask him about Hennessy and weed.
Oh, that was your year, man.
Oh, man. I got a middle school yearbook, 98, 99, man. That was a crazy yearbook. All right. Well, you know, we've been posting clips recently with some things that have gotten a lot of attention. Player myths. We've talked a few, you know, scenarios, rule reviews. So I definitely feel like players are actually starting to pay attention to what we have to say, which is awesome, because ultimately, I don't want to throw a percentage out there, but I would say 98% of the players do not actually read the entire rule book before they play in a tournament.
So, what do you mean? That's preposterous.
So maybe, just maybe, them seeing us on Instagram or wherever they follow us, they're paying attention to these rules. So let's get down to the nitty gritty, because I had a situation. I got a phone call at close to midnight a couple nights ago from the Bay Area. And it had to do with a safety.
Okay.
So I'm just going to paint the picture for you and answer what that was. And then if you can just explain, you know, kind of the ins and outs of what constitutes a safety.
Absolutely.
So the scenario was, QB throws an interception. The DB catches it in the end zone. He does not leave the end zone, but he tries to pitch it backwards. Nobody receives that, and it lands on the ground in the end zone. So in that situation, is that a touchback or a safety?
It's a touchback. So simply because possession, Team A, we're going to use Team A and Team B here. Team A throws the interception into the end zone to Team B. Team B begins their possession in the end zone, right? When we have a safety, the definition of a safety, this is going to paraphrase here, possession begins outside of the end zone and possession ends, the play ends inside of the end zone, which is, by a penalty in the end zone, by getting your flag pulled in the end zone, by, you know, slipping and falling or dropping the ball in the end zone. Those would constitute things that are a safety. If you start your possession in the end zone, you can't have a safety, if that makes sense. The only thing that can occur is a touchback. The two common questions that come up with this, A, you know, kind of like this, you know, we had a lateral that went back, ball hit the ground, it's going to be a touchback. Okay, we're going to bring it to the five, we're going to start. That's where the possession is going to start, or the next play is going to start. If a penalty occurs, let's say that the runner on Team B, once they intercept the ball, they flag guard the end zone. Okay, possession didn't start outside of the end zone, so you can't have a safety because it's a penalty. What you're going to have is you're going to have a touchback, and you're going to assess the penalty from the touchback spot. So no matter where they're down at, that's where you would assess the penalty. I'm trying to think, is there anything else I'm missing with what constitutes a safety?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I have a situation that haunted me. It was that Vegas Nationals where it was 135 degrees out. And my team was, I think we were in like the quarterfinals or something. It was a close game. The other team's in the red zone. And one of my DBs, intercepts it. Oh man, I'm already jumping up and down on the sideline. I'm so excited. And he leaves the end zone and he goes back into the end zone and he flag guards. And I see the official signal safety. So I'm like, you know, at the time I did not understand. I couldn't wrap my head around it. What do you mean? We just got an interception. Like, how are we getting penalized? You know what I mean? And you know, the official just explained it to me. He said, look, he left the end zone. He went back into the end zone and then he committed the penalty. So, you know, that we lost that game with, you know, I think it was fives or something. And, yeah, it'll always haunt me. I always think about that when I think about these scenarios, because it happened to me, affected me, personally. I think it's really kind of just breaking it down that way, that the rule of thumb is if the player has left the end zone and gone back into the end zone, whatever that looks like, if it's the snap of the ball going over the quarterback's head, well, where did the play start? It was outside of the end zone and went into the end zone. If it's a running back that gets a handoff and he's stupid enough to run backwards into the end zone and he gets his flag pulled, it's a safety because he started outside of the end zone. So I think that's the – you just got to kind of relate it to that. I think it's the same situation when, you know, like there's in – you know, if there's an interception in co-ed or on a PAT or something like that, people get confused because it's an interception. Well, we just need to relate that scenario to a normal offense.
And just
let things match up like that, you know? And so I think that's where things get lost, because right away you're like, oh, a PAT, but they were only going for one. Why are they getting 2 points? This and that, you know, all those things. We just got to, okay, let's match it up, because the team that just intercepted the ball, they are now the offense.
Right.
You know, so. And
something else too. So if you check out our rule book, rule 8, under scoring section 2, when it talks about safeties, we have a under article 2, we have this team B exceptions, right? So it talks about if a flag pull immediately after an interception in the end zone by team B, it's a touchback, not a safety. A team B player going out of bounds behind the goal line immediately after an interception in the end zone is a touchback, not a safety. Same rule would apply. If the ball's downed, you know, you're still in the end zone immediately, it's going to be a touchback. Let's see. If a foul is intercepted, if the ball is intercepted in the end zone, team B fouls in the end zone, the ball being brought back into the field of play, example, flag guard, and the result of the play is a touchback, and the foul will be administered from the touchback spot, not a safety. So what we're looking for, you know, it's where you take – where possession begins. If you're it's like you said, if you start on the 5-yard line, you snap the ball over the quarterback's head and it goes back to the end zone, that's a safety. Possession began outside of the end zone. So that's for everybody to remember. Just keep that in mind.
And this is an across the board thing, right? There's nothing different between 8s and 7s and 4s. It's across the board.
This is every format, every style, everything that USA flag touches. This is what that rule is.
Yeah. So I know there's other things that we talked about from the week that we're still kind of like trying to figure out. So we're not going to talk about that tonight. But can you also just go over the fact that the way that the USA flag rule book works and kind of what the default is if there isn't something, you know, talked about in that rule book?
Yeah, absolutely. So we try to cover as much as we can, right? It's a pretty broad spectrum of things to cover. Within our rule book. So we use our general rules to cover all formats, all styles. If a rule is in the general rules, that's where that covers everything. When we get into style specific, that's where things matter to just that, you know, style, obviously. There are parts of flag football that we don't cover in the rule book. And what we revert back to, because these situations are uncommon or it's just something that hasn't been, you know, addressed, and we're working, we're constantly working through this. This is a living, what's the word I'm looking for?
Living document.
Yeah, it's a living document, right? So thank you. We revert back to the National Federation High School Rulebook, or National Federation High School rule book. That's what 49 states go by for their rule book. Texas has their own rule book.
Of course.
But we revert back to that and what they would rule on things. And we tried to adjust accordingly. Now, also to cover anything that may not be covered in either. Let's say we get a super rare. I'll give you a fun one. Well, no, that doesn't apply. But you know, in the event we have a super rare rule that's not covered, we have in our rule book where directors, you know, they can ultimately make a ruling on the field that best fits the needs of the tournament. So if something happens, something wild off the wall, I can't even think of anything off the top of my head, but a site director has jurisdiction to fix what needs to be fixed for the betterment of the tournament. Yeah. That makes sense. So if something's not covered, they can make a ruling and we can move on. Usually something like that happens. Communication begins immediately and we try to start figuring out what's the right thing to do, you know, going forward.
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, I appreciate that. And just covering over the safety and all of that. Is there anything else as far as rules or anything that you've been thinking about over the last week or so that you want to cover while we have an audience?
Man, I tell you, the biggest thing right now, Tampa for our world championships, our officials' applications are open. They're live. We're accepting everybody right now. We're going through the process of getting everybody locked in, whether they're coming down for all 5 days, whether they're coming for 3 days. If you have any questions, myself, any USA flag director, we'd be more than glad to answer any questions or point you in the right direction to get you an answer. But you know, if you're available, if you're interested, come talk to me. We'd love to have you. I'm really excited. The way this is laying out right now, currently, I think we have officials from 10 different countries that are planning on making an appearance. I'm super excited about that. I think that truly gives the definition of a world championships. So that's what I've got, man. What about you?
I know I'm beating the dead horse, but I just got to say it, man. I saw a lot of clips over the last week of players, pro players, just wearing their flags so terribly. And I understand that this is something that I'm going to continue to bring up. It's important to me. It's important to Deuce because he brought it up without me even asking, right? I mean, he mentioned it, you know. But here's my thing about it. I know that these guys are athletes. They are at the top of their game. You know, we had Hoosh talking just, you know, a month or so ago about how, look, we are the best at flag football. We are the best flag football players. We are the professionals in this game, in this sport. And so my challenge to the pro players out there in this country is don't use the things that you can manipulate with your flags to give you an even more of an advantage. Like, be great just because you're great. If you can jump 10 feet in the air, just jump 10 feet in the air. Don't let it, you know, be because now you got to get 10 more yards because your flags, well, you jumped in the air, your flag's completely twisted around and there's no way someone's going to be able to grab it. Or, you know, it just, those kind of things, it just bothers me. I want to continue to elevate this game. I want to be a part of elevating this game. And I can say this with complete surety, there is no international game that is going to allow flags to be worn that way. So if these pro players want to make it to the Olympics, they want to make it to the international games, they're going to have to correct their flags there, because the officials go through and they make them pop them all off. They make them tighten them. It's truly, the marker is pick the belt up to your belly button and tighten it from there. It's not about having it resting on your hip bones because you got wide hip bones. Like it's nothing like that. So they take the time. International games, there's not as many in a day. I completely understand that. But that's my continued challenge, because it just, it irks me a little bit when I look at these clips and I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's a great play, but their flags were on wrong. So like, what are we really watching right now?
You're turning into a cranky old grandpa.
Back in my day, we had to wear our flags on our hips.
Oh man. So that's what I'll say about that. Yeah. Other than that, you know, I just, man, this was a lot of fun. I've never met Deuce personally. But it was cool. It was cool talking with him and just hearing that. It blows me away. I mean, the statement that he made that like New York is just like, yeah, we don't care. Like, we're gonna play contact and that's it.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of places that are like that. So
yeah.
I think we're gonna experience that a bit more on our road trip here. But you know, I'm also pretty excited for our next stop. We want to talk about our next couple stops we got lined up.
Absolutely, let's hear it.
So you know, I think we're headed north, a little bit further north. We're gonna go check out some of our friends up in Boston. We're gonna talk to them this weekend, and then we're gonna circle back. The original plan was for us to start in PA, and the planes landed a little bit further north, so we had to start in New York. Darn. So we're going to drive south. We're going to hit PA next week, and then we're going to see where the roadmap takes us from there.
Oh, man, I can't even wait. I mean, this is cool. We're definitely in, like, the – what do they call it, the tri-state area? Is that New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey area? Or what? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Massachusetts, that's New England. You know, I've same kind of thing. I don't know much about the New England scene for flag football. I do know that they're I think it's like it's a big long initials. I don't know if it's New England Youth Flag Football League or New England Flag Football League. They have some stars in that league. That you know, you see some clips from teams, and there's been a few times where I've officiated teams from there, and they have these bright yellow, orange, like camo jerseys, and they ball out. And when they show up, they're gonna win that tournament. So there's definitely some, you know, huge youth activity, youth development in that area. So I'm excited for that. You know, that's here we are. But first stop, we picked up a hitchhiker on the way.
A hitchhiker. Man, that better be a clip.
I'm going to tell you what you call a hitchhiker. I don't know what that means. Is that something in Carolina? What does that mean?
You made it up.
Okay. I can't even say it.
Hitchhiker. Oh my God.
Hitchhiker. There we go. A hitchhiker. We picked up Lance last minute on the road. He joined us. That was cool to have him as well. You want to talk about polar opposites, right? Deuce and Lance are polar opposites from coast to coast. They are completely different. But man, they're both amazing officials.
Yep.
So there's
a lot of passion. There's a lot of care. It's shown in different ways, but definitely they definitely both care about their craft. So hats off to both of them. You know, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, for sure. And I've been warned by Lance that he's got receipts. And he's coming after me, come Tampa. So I don't know what that means.
I can't wait. I know what it means, but I can't wait.
I mean, what was it? Last week he was saying he was going to beat me up.
What do you think it's going to mean?
Oh, man. But anyway, we are just going to continue on this road trip. You know, check out everywhere that you can listen to a podcast because we are everywhere. If you just want to hear the audio, but for a guest like Deuce, you got to check us out right here on YouTube. That is where you're going to get the best experience. I challenge you guys to get onto YouTube, subscribe and watch these whole videos. I know everyone likes to see the 7-second clips, but man, this whole episode was a lot of fun. So, I hope people listen to watch the whole episode. If you don't, and you don't got the attention span to do that, check us out on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, on Twitter, on Threads. We are all over that, and we continue to just, you know, show content because we do want players to get better at understanding the rules. You know, ultimately, we're here to make the game better. And so if we can spend the next few months before Tampa preparing not only officials, but players for what's to come, because this rule book is going to be in Tampa. This is what you're going to be experiencing. This is what you're going to have to deal with. And since you're not going to take the time to read it, come check out the rules on this show, you know? So
for sure.
Yeah. So, and then we got merch. So if you go to the link tree on Instagram, you can check that, hit that link, and we got merch, and you can get Jordan's ugly mug on anything you want. Because why not? Why wouldn't you want that? You know?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like there are some players, that have, especially in Campbell City, right, that they just have Jordan's like his face seared in their brain. So, but hey shout out to my, yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, shout out to my guys from Campbell City. I've been giving you guys a hard time about how tired you are, but I love y'all. You guys are my family, and I can't wait to see y'all for some sort of pig, chicken stew, something. I don't know what y'all do out there, but it's gonna be fun.
Hey, but I do want to give a couple quick shout outs to a couple people who have helped us here recently. Squib Kick Records, they came in with that intro video. Rob Richardson came in, absolutely killed it. Check those guys out. He's like a classic rock thing, but it's awesome. And then I want to give Nat a shout out as well for hooking us up with the bobbleheads for our sweet road trip graphic. With Nat with Black Diamond Photography, every USA flag tournament she's there. Hit her up, let her know, and she, you know, she's got some great rates. She'll get you guys your team taken care of. She does the mic'd up, the photos, the videos, all that good stuff.
For sure. All right, man. Well, that being said, let's get back on the road. Hey, what's your favorite? Well, you're driving on a road trip. What's your favorite snack?
Favorite snack combos, bro.
Combo.
Don't do that. All right. So hold on. So there's two different types, right? You got just general snacks, and then you've got candies. So if I'm going general snacks, I'm going combos. If I'm going candy, I'm going Skittles. What about you?
Okay. So hold on. Let me just figure this out, because those are general things that you just said. Combos. Is there a flavor to it, or is it just a plain combos?
Plain.
I'm asking. I don't know anything about combos.
Your potato salad. no, they're combos. They're little pretzel things with cheese in them. Those are the best.
Okay.
The cheese, like the pretzels, those are the bomb. You can get the pizza ones too, and those are okay. Skittles, do you need to give me a rundown on Skittles?
I mean, there's like seven different types of Skittles.
Oh, my God. There's only one kind of Skittles, and it's the original.
Okay, my bad. I'm gonna say for me, all right, now if I got a little extra cash in my pocket, I'm gonna get some pistachios. I love me some pistachios.
You're so bougie.
but 9 times out of 10 I'm gonna get me some Pringles, because at this point, any bag of chips that you're gonna get on the shelf, there's about this much chip and this much air, so it just feels like a ripoff to me. But Pringles, that whole can is filled with chips, so that feels like I'm getting a little bit more bang for my buck. And then candy wise, on a road trip, you don't want to have chocolate because it's just gonna melt. So I'm probably gonna have like Nerds clusters.
All right, Nerds clusters. Okay, all right.
Well, why were you mad about me saying chocolate will melt?
Chocolate won't. I mean, eat it. you don't have the AC going in your car while you're driving.
Yeah. Hey, you know,
road trip with you.
Hey, let me actually tell you this. This is something that is very brand new to me. Okay, so growing up in Colorado, we did not ever use our AC. So we either always had the windows down, or it's it's negative 14 degrees and you got to have the heater on. So, but so like there was no AC running, and whether it's going to Texas or Florida or North Carolina or Ohio, AC is just running all the time. And it's like, it's a whole new experience for me.
Yeah, dude. AC's on constantly. Even in the wintertime, I'll get the truck warmed up, get the cab, like, you know, at a decent temperature, and then the AC goes on.
That's hilarious. Because yep. I feel like I've done that this past week.
That's awesome. Well, welcome to the AC Club.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Well, let's get back on the road, and I'll see you soon.
Sounds good, bro. I'll see you.
All right, later.